Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played The Kairos' We All Buy Stars.
Now, Jade, sometime during the week, I had a dream about you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that kind of dirty, nasty dream.
Okay, good, Dave.
Had a dream about you and me house sharing with another friend of ours.
Oh, yeah?
Now, I'm not going to name that friend because, frankly, to our listeners, the Strokers, you and I are the only stars of the story. You and I are the only ones that matter, even though this story will largely revolve around said unnamed friend.
Okay.
We're not going to name him.
Yeah.
Him.
Him. Okay.
So, basically, here's the situation in my dream. Mm-hmm. You and I are house sharing. I'm new to the house sharing arrangement. So, you know, for the purposes of, you know, explaining this dream in a very short time, we're going to say that me and said unnamed friend moved in with you. So mm-hmm. This is your place, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the day in the dream, I went to said unnamed friend's bedroom
mm-hmm.
just to have a chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jade, this is what happened in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
I opened the door. I walked in. I was having a conversation with him. It went fine until I noticed something in a corner of my eye. There was a used dinner plate with a knife and fork, some peas, some, you know, napkins or serviette, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. sitting behind the computer's monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was there, and it didn't look like it just ended up there after, you know, a meal the night before.
It was placed there.
It was placed there, and it had been there for a while. So there I was, trying very hard to not clock it and make a situation,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think of myself as a neat person. I think of myself as reasonable. So, and I want to be tolerant of people's living space as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also very rational when I'm in my dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
So there I was trying to have this conversation with him, and I just can't ignore the fact that he's got a plate hidden behind his computer monitor. So halfway through, I just went, oh, mm-mm. I just went, mm-mm. You're going to clean that up.
And what did he say?
He just was like, oh, I'm sorry. It was just there. I was like, guys, seriously, how many of you have housemates that are just messy to the point where it makes you a little uncomfortable?
Well, you know, it's also interesting in, you know, being in a relationship too, like, you know, trying to find the balance between what, like, I don't think that I'm particularly neat either, but I think, you know, at times we, you know, my girlfriend and I have differing views on what is clean and what is messy.
Mm-hmm. And how do you guys smooth that kind of thing out? Because 2012, I've told myself, might be the year that I move out, and I'm trying very hard to not be in a situation where I'm that housemate.
Yeah.
Not that I have mama cleaning.
No one wants to be that.
Nobody wants to be that housemate. You don't want that reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a messy person, and not that Mama Lim cleans up after me or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just I want to be aware. I want to be self-aware, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are questions that I'm asking myself now. What is a reasonable level of upkeep before you're considered an animal? Basically, is putting a used dish behind your computer reasonable? Is it gross or not?
Well, I think it's gross, but in the context of the dream, Dave, it was in his space.
In his bedroom. So it's okay what he does in his bedroom?
Well, you know, I mean, I still think it's gross, but...
You got to respect that.
At the same time, if he wants to be gross in his bedroom, I'd rather he be gross in his bedroom than in the, you know, main living space.
Absolutely correct. Such wisdom from you, Jade. I hope you, when you and I move in together one day, you can have such grace, such mercy. When I start leaving things around the house.
I'm always so much more rational giving advice than I am actually in real life.
Okay, so Dave... you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, guess what?
What?
Our front desk girl, Danielle...
Has a fan.
Who's that girl answering the phone? Someone on the front desk. Someone said she's super lovely and sounds hot.
Danielle is really hot.
Yes, we can confirm.
Yes, the rumours are true. Absolutely call Danielle right now.
yeah, and while you do that, because it's Joy's Super Sizzling Christmas Drive at the moment, and you can join up to be a new member or renew your membership or, you know, buy a membership for someone and you can go in the prize draw.
Hello, so many reasons to ring up and talk to Danielle.
Yeah, call 1-300-JOY-949.
I mean, we're giving you conversation starters here, boo.
Yeah, exactly. Small talk, but, you know, I mean, if you want some more conversation points, you know, let us know. We can always give you some more.
Yeah, we're good like that. Look, Jade, we were talking about messy housemates before, and that boy James has tweeted us.
Yes. And he says, it's really gross. I can't handle dirty dishes sitting around and I don't care if it's in their room. I would have to clean it. But that boy, James, you're not teaching them anything if you do it for them.
Ah, oh, says Mama Jade.
Yeah.
Very good principle. But is it your job to teach them anything or is it just you feeling uncomfortable with the general grossness?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think you need to kind of set some boundaries when you're moving in with someone about what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. And isn't cleaning up after them acting like their mum?
Yeah. And do you know what? You got to have some self-respect.
Yeah.
You got to tell yourself, look, I'm not here to clean up after anyone. And also, it's just a bit of respect for that person. This is that person's space. You got to hopefully trust them to take a hint and just... do right by themselves.
If I was that boy, James, I would be saying, look, I'm a super neat freak, so you can't even have dirty dishes in your room. I won't stand for it.
Well, there you go. Give the ultimatum up front. Mm-hmm. Now, Jade, you've been checking out a new TV series.
Yes, it's called The Hour, Dave. It's kind of a period, you know, it's funny to call it a period drama, but it is a period drama. It's set in 1956 in the UK, in the BBC. Around a current affairs show called The Hour. And it's very, it's like, I'd been hearing a lot of good stuff about it. And, you know, I'm not normally into sort of drama style shows.
And let alone British drama.
But yeah, particularly British drama. But I don't know if you've noticed, Dave, over the last 3 weeks, it's almost been exclusively stuff from the UK.
I mean, you talked about Ricky Gervais' show.
Ricky Gervais last week, The Fades the week before. And this was really interesting to me because, you know, I've kind of got this interest really in the way the media works. And this show, you know, is kind of set behind the scenes of the really in the beginning of television. And this current, you know, there's obviously the sort of ongoing current affairs style stuff. You know, there's the idealist guy who's, you know, really into, you know, is really into the news and bringing good, relevant stories beyond just kind of, there seem to be at this, you know, it's fascinating from a point of view, a historical point of view too, because, you know, there was all this, you know, a lot of the reporting was around debutante culture, like, you know, this person was marrying this person and, you know, they were presented to society and all of that kind of old school. And it's, you know, at a time when women we're just starting to kind of get respect in the workplace, and you know,
and one of the key characters of the show, Belle, she becomes the producer.
She becomes a producer, which is a very prestigious, you know, position to be in. And there's kind of,
and it's a statement in itself about women in the workplace.
And,
yeah,
and there's this, and there's kind of, you know, and there's these statements that happen through, you know, this process where they're basically like, you know, to Belle, oh well, you know, you won't last long. That kind of, you know, this expectation that a woman can't handle the job, or you know, this comparison to, oh, I hear that you're as good as a man, like that kind of, there's still that
very sexist.
Yeah. And there's kind of other things going on too. There's, you know, the inevitable love triangle thing happening over here. There's also sort of some sort of murder mystery thing happening over here. There's now like backdrop of the Cold War happening. And
I've read a lot of reviews that compare it to Mad Men. And I've seen a couple of seconds of The Hour. Ha ha, play on words.
Yeah.
A couple of seconds of The Hour. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the Mad Men comparison. I think the only reason why people are bringing Mad Men into it is because it's set in the 50s, yeah, and the fashion is similar.
Yeah, and I guess like from the point of view of, you know, Mad Men is a kind of behind the scenes thing of advertising.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, in a certain respects, the way the women are treated,
yeah,
and that, you know, kind of
but
culture.
The style, the you know, the acting and everything is so distinctly British.
Yeah, it
is. Very distinctly British.
And, you know, I was watching, they aired the first two episodes. Dave, it was only 6 episodes long, so, and it has been renewed for a second season, which to me is a good thing, because I'm already starting to think, you know, I've seen the first two episodes and I'm already starting to think, wait, how are they wrapping all this up in 6 episodes?
It's one of those shows that seems like it's getting itself in too deep.
Yeah.
And what you don't want is like a 15-minute resolution in the last episode, because that's just crap.
Yeah, yeah. So, I really like, you know, it's interesting. Americans have, you know, hugely long seasons, and the British shows are really, really short.
So maybe more will happen in the second season.
Yes. And it's always interesting to see how they're going to make it work. But a fascinating show if you're interested in the media and that kind of, you know, 50s culture.
Absolutely. So that's The Hour. Coming up later on Different Strokes in this hour, I'm going to stop.
Yeah. You're getting into dad joke territory.
I am getting into dad joke territory. I am too young to be doing dad jokes. Let me clarify.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, we've had an email come in from Julian, and he says that he had a situation with a flatmate in London where the dishes kept disappearing and they would end up in her room, and they were just basically festering, and that she didn't care because she didn't spend a lot of time in the apartment, and they ended up having to go in and get all the dishes and clean them up because the stench had started to waft into the rest of the house.
Hell to the no.
Then, you know, a battle ensued where they tried to get her out of the house. So there's your worst case scenario.
That
right
really is a worst case scenario. I mean, I thought I had a nightmare with my confrontation about the dishes in my dream.
Yep.
But Julian, you lived a nightmare. If your housemate is, you know, basically hiding used dishes in their room to the point where it smells,
yep,
you got a problem.
That's awful.
Oh, I don't wish that on anyone. Look, Jade, sometime this week I was thinking, look, what is going on with Australian comedy? Because I'm not connecting enough with Australian comedy. Mm-hmm. And I started to think, you know, what is it that I find funny? What is it that I find hilarious? And why are things like Chaser's War and everything and all that not really engaging me? You know, why is that kind of stuff, that kind of satirical comedy that's supposed to be nice and highbrow and very fashionable, why isn't it working with me?
Yeah.
So then I decided I'm just a very basic bitch. no, my sense of humor is very basic. So that kind of stuff doesn't really appeal to me. But it didn't stop me, Jade, from checking out an online comedy channel called Jungle Boys TV. Mm-hmm. Now, this is basically a website that does a compilation of their own sketches. So they produce their own material and they also source material from around the world. So funnies from around the interwebs, mm-hmm. if you will. The site is spearheaded by Trent O'Donnell, who's a director behind Chaser's War on Everything.
Okay.
Phil Lloyd, who co-wrote and starred in At Home with Julia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you get an idea of what kind of funny I'm talking about now.
Yep.
The Jungle Boys team also features Craig Melville, who directed all of John Safran's series.
So it is highbrow then, Dave.
It is highbrow local comedy content.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of highbrow stuff that I wish I could get into and really get a kick out of.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that there are some good thinking person's comedy out there. Yeah. But, you know, I'd much rather watch, I don't know, Kelly Rowland be sassy on X Factor. that's funny to me.
That's your kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, or Tyra Banks. That's your kind of funny.
Tyra Banks is like a mix of, oh, I'm laughing at you, but I'm also scared for your mental health.
Yeah.
That is a different
RuPaul, guy. You think is hilarious?
I think RuPaul is my spiritual leader. So, you know, maybe not so much, yes, you are funny, RuPaul, but more like I'm so in awe of your amazingness.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, the reaction is jaw to the floor.
Yeah.
The concept of Jungle Boys TV is really, it's a one-stop website for people who love that kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, there's so many programs out there that, you know, do this kind of stuff. There's so many comedians out there that have this style of satirical comedy or sketch kind of comedy.
I did notice that they had some Portlandia stuff posted on the side.
And Portlandia, yeah. which we talked on Different Strokes, is very much in that kind of zany sketch column, which is totally in line with what Jungle Boys TV is about. So there's the sketches, there's the satirical comedy stuff. There's also a page for funny photos.
Mm-hmm.
So Jade, we're talking about the kind that gets viraled via the email.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that mum and dad would forward on.
Oh, God.
Maybe you should refer your mum to that page. She'll be living for it.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh.
But then she'd be asking for my email address so she could forward them all on to me.
It's parents' way of keeping in touch. My dad does that. My dad so does that. I go to my email every day and there's about two or three forwards.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's funnies. Sometimes it's a PowerPoint presentation of why God is good.
See, my parents have my email address from 2005. So they've got, you know, no chance of getting in touch with me. They're there forwards.
Aww.
I learned a harsh lesson.
So they're still sending stuff to your Hotmail MSN account.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's really also interesting about Jungle Boys TV is that it's essentially a platform to experiment with new material that don't really fit in on TV. So some of the sketches are a bit controversial,
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff that, you know, you'd imagine a current affairs to get all, you know, up in arms about. So
yep.
it's not necessarily designed for TV, but they still would trial it on the web and just to see what people's responses are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can log in as a user and, you know, rate whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Now, this style of voter option comedy has been done before.
It sounds very similar to Funny or Die, Dave, which is a Will Ferrell-involved comedy site.
Yeah.
That
they've gotten a lot of celebrities in their sketches.
Yeah, they're like really famous now for getting, you know, quite well-known celebrities involved
like
in their
Kesha,
sketches.
Like Kesha, Lindsay Lohan.
Anyone you can think of has been, I mean, Jane Lynch has been in one.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. There's a lot of people in Funny or Die sketches.
So I think there definitely is a movement in the comedy world now because so many people spend so much time on the internet for entertainment and, you know, these kind of viral videos get shared every second of the day. So it really makes sense for comedy to kind of branch out there and, you know, to create a brand where people can come to one space and enjoy all that.
Mm.
So let's see if it catches on. Who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
You say that it's about pop artist, booth character.
Pop artist, booth character.
Forget what you've heard.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I can't wait to have an argument with you. I'm not going to argue that strongly.
I mean, come on, Snow Patrol. Are you even that big a fan of Snow Patrol?
Here's the thing about Snow Patrol and I, Dave. Many years ago, we're going to talk about like 7 or 8 years ago, when I was living in America and my girlfriend and I first started seeing each other, Snow Patrol album came out. Their first, I think it was their first album.
Because this one's the sixth album.
This is their sixth album.
They're as old as the hills. Yeah.
It's called Falling Empires. This is before Chasing Cars. It was before they were kind of had this huge swell of support around. You know, basically, I was trying to think of a way of describing how people know them. And basically, I would say they're probably better known for being epic soundtrack people with love ballads.
Yep.
This is before that, you know. When
really good Grey's Anatomy music makers.
Yeah, and, you know, there's nothing against being on soundtracks or anything like that.
You got to use the skills to pay the bills.
And
yeah.
Definitely, I think, you know, soundtracking on TV shows has come a really long way, you know, in the last 10 years or so. There's some, you know, really great music on TV. You know, it's not just... It's not. It used to be in the past that the stuff that was on soundtracks was just the crap that wouldn't make it. You know what I mean? Like, whereas now it's almost like the opposite, where
it's more deliberate. Do you feel
and
music
just,
on TV?
And it just seems like they're almost making. You know, these shows now are making huge stars out of the, you know, indie style. You know, artists who are, you know, Death Cab for Cutie got hugely popular after being on the OC. You know. That kind of thing. Anyway, I was, and they've been definitely been like really, really commercial in the last couple of albums that they've released. You know, Chasing Cars was a huge song for them. This album is very much a deliberate attempt to move away from that.
So what are you trying to say? Snow Patrol's trying to get their indie alternative going on?
Well, it seems like they've gone, you know, there are still elements in certain spots of trying to, you know, that same sort of feel to a lot of their other songs. Nothing anywhere near this kind of Chasing Cars, you know, scope.
So
but in terms
saying,
of like,
yeah.
You know, those love ballads that are kind of like angsty and, yeah, that kind of, there are elements of that, but there's... a very retro feel in places, you know. There's I was reading someone was saying they compared, you know, there's one song that they were comparing to really old school Coldplay, and then there was another song that they were saying sounded a lot like old school U2, and then there was another song that they were saying sounded like old school Joy Division. So I mean, three incredibly diverse
old school sounds.
And it sounds like, you know, they've actually tried to play around and do some different stuff, and there are some, it's definitely not necessarily an album that's been made for radio, because the tracks are significantly longer than would ever get radio play.
I mean, you would assume if Snow Patrol were to service something to radio, it would be a radio edit of it, but mm-hmm. They've had two singles so far from this album, Jade. Mm-hmm. Have they grabbed you? Do they sound like radio singles?
Well, they haven't sounded like radio singles to me. The songs that I've liked are not the singles. I didn't mind the song that you posted on our blog today, but you know, your definite no-no, which is one of the singles, called This Isn't Everything You Are, but it's not like...
It's not life-changing.
No.
It's not album-defining.
The song that I really enjoyed is actually a six-minute song, and I would love to play it on our show, but we don't have 6 minutes.
Because Snore Patrol will put you in a coma.
But it was, it's actually more pop music, and it's called The Symphony. And there's another song called Berlin, Dave, which basically sounds like it's just this twee little sounding track that's, you know, the lead singer and this lady singer just doing like it's just two lines over and over and over again. Very, very catchy.
Okay, that's not very Snow Patrol-like.
No, it's not very Snow Patrol-like at all. And then there's other tracks, you know, earlier on in the album that have a lot of synths and retro feel to them. Look, I commend them on trying to do something different, because I can imagine that if you're a band who is known for a particular, you know, song or whatever, and I'm going to put Dashboard Confessional in a similar... in a similar field here, it must be difficult to
try to break the perception.
Try to break, yeah.
And also for bands like Snow Patrol and Death Cab for Cutie, they have, you know, gone through such a transformation in terms of their fan base. You know, mm-hmm. they started off rather obscure. They had a very obscure following with the indie alternative crowd. Then they had a few mainstream crossovers, and then a whole bunch of new blood came into the fan
base. And they
base.
Only wanted to hear like those one or two songs that they
it's
like.
It's very hard for bands like Snow Patrol and bands like Death Cab to cater to every, you know, shade of their fan base. Yeah. It's very hard. So I understand the confusion. And, you know, it sounds like yeah. they're really trying to cover their bases
and
with this
they
one.
They did actually say that one of the inspirations for this album was actually one of my favourite albums of last year, which was Arcade Fire's The Suburbs.
Oh, I think everybody owned that album.
Yeah. And, you know, so they're actively trying to do something different. So that's, you know, I'm going to commend them on trying.
All right, Jade, what's the song you're going to play to highlight this album for us? Sell This Baby to Me.
I'm going to play Call Out Into the Dark. If I could, I would play the symphony, and I think that would convince you that that was a good song. But
I'll go research in my own time.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.